Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. This is James Kernan with Kernan Consulting, and I'm here with my good friend, Amy Babinchek. Hey, Amy, good morning.
Good morning, James. Good morning.
How are things up in Michigan?
Hot and muggy. I think they go hand in hand up here.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I think most of the country is saying the same thing. So yeah. Most of the U.S. is hot and muggy this time of year.
It's funny, isn't it? In the spring, it seemed like it was never going to get warm. It was a really cold spring. Mm-hmm. Had trouble getting my garden in when we launched the boat. It was just so cold still in May. And then wham, we went from that to incredible heat. There's just been no in between this year.
Well, I think the farmers are all happy in the Midwest. There's a lot of heat and a lot of rain. You know, we're having a lot more rain than normal. Kind of spaced out with some storms, but yeah, hot, muggy, and rainy makes out for good conditions for these farmers. So good news for them, but bad news for us boaters.
Yeah, it's good. That is good. They definitely need the rain, and they need it spaced out in the appropriate, ratios to make things happen. You know, fun thing has happened in my garden. I have a stalk of corn. And I've never tried to grow corn, so I think this comes from my bird feeder. But it appeared, and I saw it there, and I thought, well, I'm just going to let you grow. We'll see what happens. I didn't really expect anything from it. I have three nice size ears of corn on there, and I've always heard that corn is wind pollinated, like the wind has to go through and pollinate. But I haven't looked inside to see what they look like, but they're definitely growing and they're getting nice and fat on the stalk. So excited.
Yeah, good for you. You'll have to drop a couple more seeds in next year.
Yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I will. It's kind of fun watching it grow.
So, hey, lots to talk about. We got a question of the week that came in. Let's kind of start with that because that was an interesting one. It said, what was the best way to communicate a price increase to my customers? So price increase, what would you recommend in responding to that?
You know, here's what happened to me. I used to worry about price increases and then that makes you not do them. Right. And that hurts your bottom line. I'm not a fan of the every year price increase because I think that will eventually drag your customers away, but justified price increases, you know, spread out, you know, every 2-3 years, something like that, I think is easy to explain to your customer. Mm-hmm. And so then when I started doing price increases, I thought, well, you know, this is a big deal because it felt like a big deal to me. And so I was making, you know, announcements and, you know, emailing clients and all this stuff. And, you know, predictably, then I had to deal with a lot of clients' questions and concerns and, you know, reasonable and unreasonable requests and all of this. And then the next time I thought, I don't want to deal with any of that again. So I just had our bookkeeper put an announcement on the invoices. We always sent a cover letter with a little blurb on there, each invoice. So just add an announcement. There's going to be on this date, there's going to be a price increase. And, we did it about 3 months in advance. And it was just a small little blurb. And then when it came, we raised the price. And the only thing we got was a couple people who said, hey, you should have notified us about this price increase. And we're like, oh, we did. We've had it on the letting you know about that on the last 3 months invoices. And then that was it. No questions, no unhappy customers, no concerns, no nothing. It just happened.
Yeah. Yep. Good for you. I like the way you did it. You didn't make a big deal about it. And yeah. You're exactly right. It was a big deal for sure 10 years ago, 15 years ago. You know, we've been in the channel for a long time, and that was always a challenging thing. I think you brought up another really interesting point. You shouldn't do it every year. Because your customers are like, hey, we negotiated a price per seat, and now you keep changing it every single year, even though you reserve the right to do that. I think you will chase customers away. I think there's a little balance there based on what's going on with the economy. But that's always the first question I ask when someone says they want to raise their prices. I said, well, when was your last one? You know, if it was within 2 years, then I'd maybe wait. But, you know, if it's 3 years, or more, then I think it's a good time to do that. Everybody's used to price increases now, mm-hmm. You know, especially during COVID or after COVID, you know, everything just went up price wise and you just dealt with it. So I like the way you handled, just didn't want to make a big deal about it. I think a pricing increase is twofold. One, price per hour, you know, for normal customers, and then also the price per seat on your managed service agreements. The norm I'm seeing is like a 5% increase. But the reality is our costs are all going up, right?
Yeah.
Cost of labor, interest rates are going up, you know, cost of materials, the tools, everything seems to be going up. When you do a price increase, I like the way you handled yours. Don't make a big deal about it. But if you do have a conversation with someone, make sure you understand why you're doing it. It's not to increase your profits. You know, it's because of our labor costs went up and we've invested in some new tools. We rolled these things out free of charge to you. You're getting more. So, you know, our costs have gone up and we need to raise our costs. So
I agree. I think after a couple of years, everyone feels the inflation, whatever it is. There's always inflation. Sometimes there's a lot, sometimes there's a little, but there always is. And so after a couple years, they feel it themselves and they understand it, right? Because they're probably doing the same thing in their own business.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for so many things that we have to get used to as business owners, it's that, you know, again, that sensitivity to price increase that you have yourself. And I was projecting that too strongly outwards. And then I made that mistake. And then I was like, okay, yeah, this is really about me. It's not about them. And so we're just going to do it.
I'm guilty of that too. And that's really interesting you brought that up, because that's super important that we stress this to everybody. If you make an announcement on your invoices or make an announcement on your, you know, billing page, there's all sorts of discrete ways of doing it. You know, you could have a notice in your MSAs that you're able, you know, may raise the pricing up to 5% per year without written notice. I like the discrete ways. When you communicate something that you're uncomfortable with to a client, and again, I'm guilty of this too. Most clients that you get along with are, okay, I understand, I get it. But there are some people out there that will see that you're nervous and that you're uncomfortable. They'll see the confidence not being there in your eyes, that you're uncomfortable. Yeah. And some people will take advantage of that. And I'm just trying to help everybody with this, because, you know, don't put yourself in a situation where people can try to negotiate. And that's when things get unfair and unrealistic. So that's an interesting point.
If that happens, you just have to say no.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have no choice. It's not fair to your other customers that you don't say no to that. Right. So definitely don't get bullied out of your price increase, for sure. Hey, fun fact. I was just telling this story to an investor guy that I met with over the weekend, and I said, you know, I don't think of myself as a superstitious person. Mm-hmm. There was one customer that I never raised the price on.
No.
It was my very first customer.
Okay.
And I kept them for the full 23 years, and I never increased their price. Wow. It was just it's kind of a thank you for being my first ever client, and, you know, encouraging me to go into business in the first place. And for me, it was a little bit of a superstition thing. Like, you know, I needed that anchor.
Did you? Yeah. No, that's a smart thing to do. I mean, did you ever talk to them about it, or even after the fact?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. And through the years, I went to them for business advice too. You know, they were part of my trusted advisor circle.
Well, so. I think it's important from a leadership standpoint or a professionalism standpoint. Everybody wants to feel valued, you know, feel respected, feel valued. And I think that's one unique way. You can't do that to everybody.
No, it was just one. And like I said, it was more of a superstition thing. It was just a little fun fact add on.
Another fun fact. I don't know if you caught the headline here. I started laughing out loud when I read it, but AOL. Okay. Are they still around? Ooh. AOL made an announcement saying that after 30 years, they finally are turning off the dial-up access to the internet.
Like, you know, I think, don't we? I'm sure you do, because I do. Still have a little PSTD from all those DVDs and CDs that came in the mail.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every week, the amount of money they must have spent on CD-ROMs and burning those and packaging them for mailing. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to sound like an old person here, but if you're, you know, if you were not around when AOL was mailing you a CD of their services every single month for years and years and years and years,
you missed out.
You missed out, but yes, it still makes us sort of look at our mailbox a little askance, like, oh my God, is there going to be another one?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I saw that. Just, I laughed out loud. I was an AOL subscriber way, way, way back when, and you know, used that service. But thank goodness we're not forced to do that anymore. Well, hey, ChatGPT is in the news, and we've already been talking about. Everybody was excited for the ChatGPT the 5.0 to come out, and it finally came out. But unfortunately, after 24 hours. There was so much uproar about the interface and the lack of it just changed, you know, and a lot of people don't like change. So it was interesting. They made kind of a rapid U-turn, and the CEO decided to for the plus subscribers, they allowed you to roll back to the older version. So I thought that was interesting. Have you run into that?
You know, it is really interesting because AI is so new. And we know users have a aversion to things that change. So what this actually means, I think, is that people have integrated it into their routine at this point.
Right.
And when you change something, they have to learn it again. Concerning part of that is that they think they don't have to learn anything new about AI, like they've mastered it, they understand it, leave it alone. It's just beginning. The change is going to be radical. You can't stand still on this. So I would really discourage anyone to go back to GPT-4 interface. Mm-hmm. You should not be comfortable with AI yet. You should just be in still in hyper learning mode and challenging yourself to learn more, because what you're looking at right now is the infant. You're not looking at the final product.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
It's moving so fast, but yeah, I mean, I think I like your point about, you know, the mindset, just be in growth mode and be open to change and embrace it. Cause it's going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming, but not just with ChatGPT, but, you know, all the AI tools.
Right. So. Yeah. Interesting stuff too about ChatGPT-5. You know, of course, hackers broke it in 24 hours because it's what they do.
It's what they do.
Yep.
I'm not surprised by that anymore. But two interesting things. The ones that announced that they broke it, one is using a technique that I think we need to be very, very concerned about because it's not going to go away. It's way too simple and way too effective. It's just not a ChatGPT thing. It encompasses all of them. So what they do is you may have heard about this. They do a 1-point text in white and they insert the prompt in the document. So as you're reading the document, the prompt executes. And the purpose of the prompt is to exfiltrate your data, right? So they provide you with a document that you want. Maybe you download it off a website. There's a lot of great, research and information in there. Maybe it's a how-to document, whatever it is, it's something that you really want to read. We all read things from so many sources now. So you download this document, and when you open it, you don't know that prompt has executed. And so it's looking to see if you have connected your AIs to OneDrive, to Google Drive, to Dropbox, to any of these things where your documents are gonna reside. And then it uses that to exfiltrate. So they no longer need to ransomware you. They just need you to read this really awesome article that you're gonna enjoy reading and find valuable anyway. But that is so simple. That's something that's not going to go away anytime soon. We're going to be living with that for a long time. And this is important for MSPs. So your users need to understand that. Your staff needs to understand that so that they can work to secure the AIs that your clients are using, right? Make sure that can't happen.
Yeah, speaking of ongoing security concerns, there was an article on Business of Tech. So Dave Sobel actually had a really interesting article, and this just caught my eye because I've got inside my community, I've got a handful of managed print dealers that are still, it's another form of MRR. It's a lot of MSPs kind of stay away from the printers, but most the headline basically was the email and printer still expose businesses to modern threats. And it looked at there's a lot of emphasis and energy going in to secure these printers on the networks. And they use a feature called scan to email. And the email protocols on these printers are not as sophisticated as maybe they should. But what was really interesting to me in these articles is there were thousands of respondents on these surveys that talked about they put a lot of time and energy into managing the printers, but only this said only 36% of them properly did it. So what it's saying is 64% isn't doing it properly, and the ones that did it properly were spending an average of 3.5 hours per printer each month on just security management. That,
There are a lot of jokes about supporting printers.
yes, yeah, exactly. Like there's nothing to it, but when I see a statistic like that, I mean, my old rule of thumb was a half hour per device or a half hour per user, on average across the whole network on the contract. This is a lot, three
See,
point five hours per printer.
it is a lot. Printers are just kind of ridiculous. Like it seemed like they're such a simple device, and yet they don't keep running. They just don't. It's like backup is the same way. Backups just don't keep running on their own. They require care and feeding. Your printers require care and feeding, just for functionality and also for security purposes. Scan to email is such a common feature. That is something that probably every business uses. And if you've set up, as most of our listeners I'm sure have, any of these features in multifunction printers or even in, the big Xerox and Canon, copier, multifunction copier machines, when you go into those interfaces, I mean, it's like a flashback in time. It's like, what is this? Is this like Windows 7? What is going on here? You know, and it is a lot of times, right? Embedded into those systems are really ancient ways of doing things, ancient protocols, things that can't be secured. It's just kind of a mess. So part of it is the fault of the MSP for not updating those machines. The other part really still relies with the manufacturer for, one, not making them more reliable, and two, modernizing the operating system in those devices so that they can be secured better.
Yeah, and it just kind of begs the thought, you know, with historically, you know, my view was, you know, we're trying to grow your business, increase your MRR. That's typically the number one goal for most MSPs. And, you know, that goes, okay, well, we're charging a price per user, but, you know, you can do a price per device. You know, all of a sudden phones kind of came on, and it's another form of monthly recurring revenue. You're going to manage their phones. Okay. And then, you know, the Wi-Fi access points, and then the printers and the mobile devices that people have, or their own devices they bring in from home. You know, where do you draw the line? I mean, there's a lot of these are just vulnerabilities that could be big, big headaches. But, you know, that's an interesting thought. I'd love to hear from our listeners. Message us, send Amy or myself a message. We'd love to hear from you if you're managing all those devices on the network and charging for it, or you're thinking of not doing it. You know, it's kind of interesting what's going on right now. So most MSPs I see, you know, try to manage those things, but it's, there's a lot of risk and time associated with it too.
There is, you know, but I would discourage you from not managing certain devices on the network. I see that so commonly, you know, like, oh yeah, we don't manage mobile devices. Like, well, mobile devices are used as tiny computers these days.
Right.
Right. They are accessing your network. So by saying you're not going to manage the mobile devices, you're just saying, I'm going to let mobile devices do whatever they want on my network.
Or Amy, what's even worse that I'm seeing when I talk to MSPs, they are managing the mobile devices, but they're not even charging for it. You know?
Yeah.
It's and many of them don't have the right tools, but you know, that's something I agree. The trend is moving that direction. There's going to be more and more mobile devices on the network to manage. So
yeah, customers are being billed per seat. But I think even if you're not going to bill per device, which is antiquated and kind of makes sense because customers think about their cost for supporting their employees as they work. So it makes sense to align with that. But somewhere in your documents or in your invoices, you need to say, you know, 25 seats, 300 devices managed.
Right? Yeah.
Because the numbers are like that.
Yep. Good point. Yeah. Well, a lot of AI in the news, a lot of security concerns in the news. You know, we could go on and on, but everybody sees the same headline. So, hey, you know, we're kind of halfway into Q3. I can't believe how fast 2025 is going. What's the rest of the quarter look like for you? You got any travel plans? Hitting any conferences?
You know what? I wanna tell you about a new product that I've got out there and what the plans are for the rest of the quarter. So Selma MSP turned 10 years old this month. And so Rayan Buccianico and I have been doing that together for 10 years. And we came up with a new idea. You know, we decided that right now that I don't have my MSP and we can dedicate more time to Selma MSP. We can actually help more people than we have in the past. And we've come up with a self-assessment. So it's free. And if you go to third tier, you can find it over there. Self-assessment to find out where your business is at as far as being ready to talk to buyers. Right. So it'll let you take that self-assessment. And then from there, once you sort of know where your business stands and where it's at on that process, you know, you then have the decision to self-serve, join an accountability group, which we have set up to sort of self-serve your way through improving your results on that assessment, or, you know, do the full-on coaching that Brianne and I have been doing for the last 10 years. So we're still doing the one-on-one stuff, but we wanted to give another option to folks that really are more DIYers in the industry.
Yep. Yeah, there's, I agree with that. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I got one more thing. The other thing going on is in October, I will be starting up the AI course. It was very popular in the spring, and I was getting messages about, you know, when are you going to do the next one? So the AI course, which I designed and created, is to help MSPs get started supporting AI through managing, you know, playing to your strengths is where you want to start with this, right? You can go crazy and get all agentic and creating stuff, but if we just want to get started with it, get started integrating it into our services, play to the strengths, manage, monitor, secure. And so over the course of 7 weeks, we're going to talk about the opportunities and the ways to actually manage, monitor, and secure AI across your clients. So that course will be starting up in October, and in September I'll open up the signups for that. So that's what's going on for my last quarter. What about you?
Very cool. Very cool. Well, there's an exchange event later here in August out in Denver that planned to attend. And then I've got a mastermind event in Tampa in the end of September. So that's kind of coming up for me. And then there's a, seems to be a flurry. I don't know what list I landed on, but there's, I've gotten 3 podcast invitations just last week. So I don't know, maybe it was ChannelCon or something, but good timing. So I'll be online a lot of different events coming up here this quarter. So fun, cool. Fun stuff. I love those.
It's always weird how those things come in waves, isn't it?
Exactly. Like, wow. Okay. But all right. Well, good stuff. So, hey, if you want to add to what Amy and I have been talking about, reach out to james@kernanconsulting.com. We'd love to hear from you. Any question that you have, question of the week, we'd love to hear from our listeners. So until next time, have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.